720 WGN, I'm John Landecker. Thanks for tuning in. It's 9 minutes after 8 o'clock. That is a clip from the really fantastic film One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, which was based on the book written by Ken Kesey. And I have in my hand a copy of a book called It's All a Kind of Magic, The Young Ken Kesey, written by Rick Dodson, who is with us on the phone. He is welcome, first of all, Rick, to WGN. And you're not crazy.
Just, thank you very much. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you too. I wanted to give some of the your background here. Associate professor of history at Lakeland College in Wisconsin. Worked as a plumber, heating engineer, soccer referee, handyman, Mediterranean deckhand, teacher of English. On the slopes of Mount Kilimanjaro, and creator and producer of Mission to the Stars, a space rock opera. That just struck me as being the perfect resume for somebody to write a book about Ken Kesey. It just seems to fit perfectly.
Well, thank you, John.
You're very welcome.
I hope other people think the same.
Oh, I'm sure. The book is called It's All a Kind of Magic, The Young Ken Kesey. For those who don't know, can you give us a background as to who Ken Kesey was and what his importance to history is and what about him attracted you to write a book?
Okay. Kesey is going to be remembered for two things, really. Writing two fabulous books that are going to forever be part of the American canon. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and Sometimes a Great Notion. So he made his mark early in his life, in his 20s, really, straight out of graduate school. And the second thing he's going to be remembered for is using his fame and the notoriety to participate and in many ways seed the hippie, psychedelic counterculture of the California West Coast, as written about most famously by Tom Wolfe in The Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Those are the two things I think that make him historically important. And I got into it because I was born in 1961 in the UK, in the northwest around Manchester and Liverpool. And so I was a teenager in the 70s. I was kind of in between the remnants of the counterculture and the punk hippies that I followed around in my youth. So I knew about Kesey because I'd read One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and Tom Wolfe's book and was always interested and felt connected to that counterculture and the psychedelic scene that it was part of. So I was lucky enough to be able to pursue my interests as far as getting to and meet with Kesey and write about him for part of my studies. And this book is based on that research.
Wanted to point out that today is the anniversary of Ken Kesey's death, which is part of the reason that we're, but not the main reason, that we're discussing Dr. Dodson's book and the history of Ken Kesey. In your introduction, you point out that on his gravestone it says, sparks fly upward. What do you think the meaning behind that was?
Oh, boy, that's a quote out of the Bible, isn't it, John?
You got me on that.
It's out of Job, I think. I wouldn't claim to be a biblical scholar. But that's where it comes from. Kesey came from quite a religious background, and I think what it means is live an inspirational life, seek to make sparks like a generator, to bring a light into existence. I think it was enigmatic, the meaning of that phrase, which is typical, I think, of the way Kesey would communicate sometimes. I'm not sure that I wrote about it in the introduction, John, but I was in in New York when Kesey died, and it was just a month after 9/11. So planes had only just started flying again, and I was giving a paper in a university in New York or in Long Island, I think, somewhere. And I was interviewing someone for my research who knew Kesey. And as we were talking, we'd learned of Kesey's death. So my memories of that are very mixed up with my memories of 9/11, because that same day I was standing in front of what was left of the Twin Towers, and then to learn that Kesey had died on top of that, it was a strange old time for me.
Well, I apologize for my ignorance of the biblical quotations. I'm with Dr. Rick Dodson, who's an author of a book, It's All Kind of Magic, The Young Ken Kesey, and, you know, reading your book and all the episodes of experimenting with acid and enrolling in government-funded acid research, the idea sparks fly upward. Just since I don't know anything about, obviously don't know much about the Bible, I thought that must have something to do with an acid trip. So I apologize for my sort of obtuse way of thinking about that. But there is, I mean, you can't get away from LSD when you talk about Ken Kesey.
No, or any other psychedelics, really. He actually came to LSD after he was trying mushrooms and peyote and stuff like that. LSD only came a little bit later into the story, just in time for the acid tests, really. But no, he's tied to it, and Wolf certainly established his reputation as such.
So he was enrolled in a government-funded research program about LSD, was he not?
Oh, you know, I could never nail down the source of the funding.
Oh, really?
I was able to find a few of the articles that were written by the doctors that ran the program, and their names appeared in the writings about the MK Ultra program as doctors who had been funded by the CIA through that surreptitiously through that program. So I never was able, you know, in a court of law, I'm not sure whether that proof would be enough, but there was enough circumstantial evidence for me to suggest, you know, most likely, because I think most of those studies were funded indirectly by MK Ultra.
Well, you know, once you mention the CIA, nothing is ever going to be abundantly clear through the lens of history. But you did, in the book, talk about, and you just mentioned, you just referenced there, the acid tests. And I saw that there were a number of instances that were labeled, that were given that label. Is there something, I know it sounds like, well, John, they're testing acid. But is there more to it? Is there more to it than that?
Oh, you've touched on a very touchy question, John.
Really?
Do you know who Owsley was, or Bear was his nickname amongst the Grateful Dead scene?
Yes.
In the story.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
He's the guy that made all the LSD and much of it, but supplied the acid tests and much else besides. So he and I had a conversation about this, an email correspondence, because he was living in Australia at the time. And I was trying to establish the chronology of the acid tests, you know, when and where, which is still not very clear because people remember it differently. And they didn't necessarily put the dates on the posters. They just put Saturday night because they only put them up on Friday night because they knew they'd get torn down. Around, you know, off the telegraph poles and stuff. So,
You mean they were advertising these tests? Please come. I'm just reading into your.
It wasn't technically illegal.
No, I understand that. Yeah.
At that time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think it's until October the 6th, 1966, that it becomes illegal. I think that's right, in California at least.
Yeah.
And so, but certainly it, what they were up to was something they knew would be, well, they'd already been targeted by the police in their house and busted for pot. So they knew the dangers of the risks they were taking putting these events on. So one of them told me that they would tack up the posters on the telegraph poles and around the place mm-hmm. where the event was going to take place, but only a day or two beforehand. Because they didn't want to alert the authorities.
Sort of the early social media, if you will.
I miss those days. I still like a good poster.
I totally understand where you're coming from. I was reading your really great book about Ken Kesey. I mean, it's your research is so meticulous and thorough; it's quite outstanding. And I certainly knew of him, and general information about the Merry Pranksters and some of the other individuals that you mentioned, and Tom Wolfe, and that whole scene and things like that. But I didn't realize. It got me thinking that I believe you say that he initially was athletically inclined and was going to be a football player and a wrestler. And I'm wondering if, and this is just conjecture on my part, if that these substances might have, for lack of a better term, no pun intended, altered his direction.
he still had an element of a jock around him, even when I met him later in his life. He was a farmer, and he looked like a farmer, and came from good Western frontier stock, as did his wife. And for sure, that was his identity at high school and college. Was the wrestler, played on the football team too, but wrestling was his main thing. He actually tried out for the Olympics for the 1960 Tokyo Olympics. And had he not been injured in his college career, he might have had a shot.
Well, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest is an iconic title, not only in the terms of literature, but also in film history. And that's one of the contributions of Ken Kesey's writing. When did he get the itch to write? When did he decide that he wanted to be an author? And where did the idea for that book come from? Do you know?
Yeah, he was inspired by one of his teachers at high school, at college, at the University of Oregon. I hope I got that right. There's the Oregon University and the University of Oregon. I think it's the U of O, right? Yes, the University of Oregon, to be a writer. Mm-hmm. Because he was never just a jock. I sometimes meet students like this, and maybe you've met people like this too, John, who are not just one thing or another. They've got a performative side to them, a theatrical, artistic side. And Kesey was good at both those things. So, he was a popular performer in high school. He had his own little magic show that he would do with his little brother. Mm-hmm. And they would perform at school and to groups of farmers that his dad worked with in a dairy co-op. And at college, he was there's some nice pictures in the book of him in plays, doing theater while he's at college. And he's earning money, playing his way through school by doing a radio show and doing magic shows around the place and for his fraternity. So he was a jock, but he had this other side, and that's what led him ultimately to Stanford to follow writing. Although he would have preferred to be an actor, but he never really got his break in Hollywood.
I can relate to that. when I was reading your book, I felt a certain empathy for what was going on. Unfortunately, Doctor, we're out of time. Maybe we can pick this up again some other time in the future. It's an excellent book. You're a very fine writer and researcher. And needless to say, Ken Kesey is really one of the great characters in American history. The book, again, is called It's All a Kind of Magic. Thank you so much for being with us, Doctor, and have a very good evening. Thank you.
My pleasure. Same to you.
Thanks. That's Dr. Rick Dodson. And the book came out in 2013. 720 WGN, I'm John Landecker. Thanks for tuning in. It's 9 minutes after 8 o'clock. That is a clip from the really fantastic film One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, which was based on the book written by Ken Kesey. And I have in my hand a copy of a book called It's All a Kind of Magic, The Young Ken Kesey, written by Rick Dodson, who is with us on the phone. He is welcome, first of all, Rick, to WGN. And you're not crazy.
Just, thank you very much. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you too. I wanted to give some of the your background here. Associate professor of history at Lakeland College in Wisconsin. Worked as a plumber, heating engineer, soccer referee, handyman, Mediterranean deckhand, teacher of English. On the slopes of Mount Kilimanjaro, and creator and producer of Mission to the Stars, a space rock opera. That just struck me as being the perfect resume for somebody to write a book about Ken Kesey. It just seems to fit perfectly.
Well, thank you, John.
You're very welcome.
I hope other people think the same.
Oh, I'm sure. The book is called It's All a Kind of Magic, The Young Ken Kesey. For those who don't know, can you give us a background as to who Ken Kesey was and what his importance to history is and what about him attracted you to write a book?
Okay. Kesey is going to be remembered for two things, really. Writing two fabulous books that are going to forever be part of the American canon. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and Sometimes a Great Notion. So he made his mark early in his life, in his 20s, really, straight out of graduate school. And the second thing he's going to be remembered for is using his fame and the notoriety to participate and in many ways seed the hippie psychedelic counterculture of California West Coast, as written about most famously by Tom Wolfe in The Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Those are the two things I think that make him historically important. And I got into it because I was born in 1961 in the UK, in the northwest around Manchester and Liverpool. And so I was a teenager in the 70s. I was kind of in between the remnants of the counterculture and the punk hippies that I followed around in my youth. So I knew about Kesey because I'd read One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and Tom Wolfe's book, and was always interested and felt connected to that counterculture and the psychedelic scene that it was part of. So I was lucky enough to be able to pursue my interests as far as getting to meet with Kesey and write about him for part of my studies, and this book is based on that research.
Wanted to point out that today is the anniversary of Ken Kesey's death, which is part of the reason that we're, but not the main reason, that we're discussing Dr. Dodson's book and the history of Ken Kesey. In your introduction, you point out that on his gravestone, it says, sparks fly upward. What do you think the meaning behind that was?
Oh, boy, that's a quote out of the Bible, isn't it, John?
You got me on that. I don't know.
it's out of Job, I think. I wouldn't claim to be a biblical scholar, but that's where it comes from. Kesey came from quite a religious background, and I think what it means is live an inspirational life, seek to make sparks like a generator, to bring a light into existence. I think it was enigmatic, the meaning of that phrase, which is typical, I think, of the way Kesey would communicate sometimes. I'm not sure that I wrote about it in the introduction, John, but I was in New York when Kesey died, and it was just a month after 9/11. So planes had only just started flying again, and I was giving a paper in a university in New York or in Long Island, I think, somewhere. And I was interviewing someone for my research who knew Kesey. And as we were talking, we learned of Kesey's death. So my memories of that are very mixed up with my memories of 9/11, because that same day I was standing in front of what was left of the Twin Towers. And then to learn that Kesey had died on top of that, it was a strange old time for me.
Well, I apologize for my ignorance of the biblical quotations. I'm with Dr. Rick Dodson, who's an author of a book, It's All Kind of Magic, The Young Ken Kesey. And, you know, reading your book and all the episodes of experimenting with acid and enrolling in government-funded acid research, the idea sparks fly upward. Just since I don't know anything about, obviously don't know much about the Bible, I thought that must have something to do with an acid trip. So I apologize for my sort of obtuse way of thinking about that. But there is, I mean, you can't get away from LSD when you talk about Ken Kesey.
No, or any other psychedelics, really. He actually came to LSD after he was trying mushrooms and peyote and stuff like that. LSD only came a little bit later into the story, just in time for the acid tests, really. But no, he's tied to it, and Wolf certainly established his reputation as such.
So he was enrolled in a government-funded research program about LSD, was he not?
Oh, you know, I could never nail down the source of the funding.
Oh, really?
I was able to find a few of the articles that were written by the doctors that ran the program, and their names appeared in the writings about the MK Ultra program as doctors who had been funded by the CIA through that surreptitiously through that program. So I never was able, you know, in a court of law, I'm not sure whether my proof would be enough, but there was enough circumstantial evidence for me to suggest, you know, most likely, because I think most of those studies were funded indirectly by MK Ultra.
Well, you know, once you mention the CIA, nothing is ever going to be abundantly clear through the lens of history. But you did, in the book, talk about, and you just mentioned, you just referenced there, the acid tests. And I saw that there were a number of instances that were labeled, that were given that label. Is there something, I know it sounds like, well, John, they're testing acid. But is there more to it? Is there more to it than that?
Oh, you've touched on a very touchy question, John.
Really?
Do you know who Owsley was, or Bear was his nickname amongst the Grateful Dead scene?
Yes.
In the story.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
He's the guy that made all the LSD and much of it, but supplied the acid tests and much else besides. So he and I had a conversation about this, an email correspondence, because he was living in Australia at the time. And I was trying to establish the chronology of the acid tests, you know, when and where, which is still not very clear because people remember it differently. And they didn't necessarily put the dates on the posters. They just put Saturday night because they only put them up on Friday night because they knew they'd get torn down. Around, you know, off the telegraph poles and stuff. So,
You mean they were advertising these tests? Please come. I'm just reading into your.
It wasn't technically illegal.
No, I understand that. Yeah.
At that time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think it's until October the 6th, 1966, that it becomes illegal. I think that's right, in California at least.
Yeah.
And so, but certainly it, what they were up to was something they knew would be, well, they'd already been targeted by the police in their house and busted for pot. So they knew the dangers of the risks they were taking putting these events on. One of them told me that they would tack up the posters on the telegraph poles and around the place mm-hmm. where the event was going to take place, but only a day or two beforehand, because they didn't want to alert the authorities.
Sort of the early social media, if you will.
I miss those days. I still like a good poster.
I totally understand where you're coming from. I was reading your really great book about Ken Kesey. I mean, your research is so meticulous and thorough. It's quite outstanding. And I certainly knew of him. And, general information about the Merry Pranksters and some of the other individuals that you mentioned, and Tom Wolfe and that whole scene and things like that. But I didn't realize, and it got me thinking that I believe you say that he initially was athletically inclined and was going to be a football player and a wrestler. And I'm wondering if, and this is just conjecture on my part, if that these substances might have, for lack of a better term, no pun intended, altered his direction.
he still had an element of a jock around him, even when I met him later in his life. He was a farmer, and he looked like a farmer, and came from good Western frontier stock, as did his wife. And for sure, that was his identity at high school and college, was the wrestler. Played on the football team too, but wrestling was his main thing. He actually tried out for the Olympics for the 1960 Tokyo Olympics. And had he not been injured in his college career, he might have had a shot.
Well, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest is an iconic title, not only in the terms of literature, but also in film history. And that's one of the contributions of Ken Kesey's writing. When did he get the itch to write? When did he decide that he wanted to be an author? And where did the idea for that book come from? Do you know?
Yeah, he was inspired by one of his teachers at high school, at college, at the University of Oregon. I hope I got that right. There's the Oregon University and the University of Oregon. I think it's the U of O, right? Yes, the University of Oregon, to be a writer. Mm-hmm. Because he was never just a jock. I sometimes meet students like this, and maybe you've met people like this too, John, who are not just one thing or another. They've got a performative side to them, a theatrical, artistic side. And Kesey was good at both those things. So, he was a popular performer in high school. He had his own little magic show that he would do with his little brother. Mm-hmm. And they would perform at school and to groups of farmers that his dad worked with in a dairy co-op. And at college, he was there's some nice pictures in the book of him in plays, doing theater while he's at college. And he's earning money, playing his way through school by doing a radio show and doing magic shows around mm-hmm. the place and for his fraternity. So he was a jock, but he had this other side, and that's what led him ultimately to Stanford to follow writing. Although he would have preferred to be an actor, but he never really got his break in Hollywood.
I can relate to that. when I was reading your book, I felt a certain empathy for what was going on. Unfortunately, Doctor, we're out of time. Maybe we can pick this up again some other time in the future. It's an excellent book. You're a very fine writer and researcher. And needless to say, Ken Kesey is really one of the great characters in American history. The book, again, is called It's All a Kind of Magic. Thank you so much for being with us, Doctor, and have a very good evening. Thank you.
My pleasure. Same to you.
Thanks. That's Dr. Rick Dodson. And the book came out in 2013. I'm with Dr. Rick Dodson, who's an author of a book. It's All Kind of Magic, The Young Ken Kesey. And, you know, reading your book and all the episodes of experimenting with acid and enrolling in government-funded acid research, the idea sparks fly upward. Just since I don't know anything about, obviously don't know much about the Bible, I thought that must have something to do with an acid trip. So I apologize for my obtuse way of thinking about that. But there is, I mean, you can't get away from LSD when you talk about Ken Kesey.
No, or any other psychedelics, really. He actually came to LSD after he was trying mushrooms and peyote and stuff like that. LSD only came a little bit later into the story, just in time for the acid tests, really. But no, he's tied to it, and Wolf certainly established his reputation as such.
So he was enrolled in a government-funded research program about LSD, was he not?
Oh, you know, I could never nail down the source of the funding.
Oh, really?
I was able to find a few of the articles that were written by the doctors that ran the program, and their names appeared in the writings about the MK Ultra program as doctors who had been funded by the CIA through that surreptitiously through that program. So I never was able, you know, in a court of law, I'm not sure whether my proof would be enough, but there was enough circumstantial evidence for me to suggest, you know, most likely, because I think most of those studies were funded indirectly by MK Ultra.
Well, you know, once you mention the CIA, nothing is ever going to be abundantly clear through the lens of history. But you did, in the book, talk about, and you just mentioned, you just referenced there, the acid tests. And I saw that there were a number of instances that were labeled, that were given that label. Is there something, I know it sounds like, well, John, they're testing acid. But is there more to it? Is there more to it than that?
Oh, you've touched on a very touchy question, John.
Really?
Do you know who Owsley was, or Bear was his nickname amongst the Grateful Dead scene?
Yes.
In the story.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
He's the guy that made all the LSD and much of it, but supplied the acid tests and much else besides. So he and I had a conversation about this, an email correspondence, because he was living in Australia at the time. And I was trying to establish the chronology of the acid tests, you know, when and where, which is still not very clear because people remember it differently. And they didn't necessarily put the dates on the posters. They just put Saturday night because they only put them up on Friday night because they knew they'd get torn down. Around, you know, off the telegraph poles and stuff. So,
You mean they were advertising these tests? Please come. I'm just reading into your.
It wasn't technically illegal.
No, I understand that. Yeah.
At that time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think it's until October the 6th, 1966, that it becomes illegal. I think that's right, in California at least.
Yeah.
And so, but certainly what they were up to was something they knew would be, well, they'd already been targeted by the police in their house and busted for pot. So they knew the dangers of the risks they were taking putting these events on. One of them told me that they would tack up the posters on the telegraph poles and around the place where the event was going to take place, but only a day or two beforehand because they didn't want to alert the authorities.
Sort of the early social media, if you will.
I miss those days. I still like a good poster.
I totally understand where you're coming from. You know, I was reading your really great book about Ken Kesey. I mean, it's your research is so meticulous and thorough. It's quite outstanding. And I certainly knew of him. And, you know, general information about the Merry Pranksters and some of the other individuals that you mentioned and Tom Wolfe and that whole scene and things like that. But I didn't realize, it got me thinking that I believe you say that he initially was athletically inclined and was going to be a football player and a wrestler. And I'm wondering if, and this is just conjecture on my part, if that these substances might have, for lack of a better term, no pun intended, altered his direction.
He still had an element of a jock around him, even when I met him later in his life. You know, he was a farmer, and he looked like a farmer, and came from good Western frontier stock, as did his wife. And for sure, that was his identity at high school and college. Was the wrestler, played on the football team too, but wrestling was his main thing. He actually tried out for the Olympics for the 1960 Tokyo Olympics. And had he not been injured in his college career, he might have had a shot.
Well, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest is an iconic title, not only in the terms of literature, but also in film history. And that's one of the contributions of Ken Kesey's writing. When did he start, when did he get the itch to write? When did he decide that he wanted to be an author? And where did the idea for that book come from? Do you know?
Yeah, he was inspired by one of his teachers at high school, at college, at the University of Oregon. I hope I got that right. There's the Oregon University and the University of Oregon. I think it's the U of O, right? Yes, the University of Oregon, to be a writer. Mm-hmm. Because he was never just a jock. I sometimes meet students like this, and maybe you've met people like this too, John, who are not just one thing or another.
That
they've got a performative side to them, a theatrical, artistic side. And Kesey was good at both those things. So, you know, he was a popular a performer in high school. He had his own little magic show that he would do with his little brother. Mm-hmm. And they would perform at school and to groups of farmers that his dad worked with in a dairy co-op. And at college, he was there's some nice pictures in the book of him in plays, doing theater while he's at college. And he's earning money, playing his way through school by doing a radio show and doing magic shows around the place and for his fraternity. So he was a jock, but he had this other side, and that's what led him ultimately to Stanford to follow writing. Although he would have preferred to be an actor, but he never really got his break in Hollywood.
I can relate to that. when I was reading your book, I felt a certain empathy for what was going on. Unfortunately, Doctor, we're out of time. Maybe we can pick this up again some other time in the future. It's an excellent book. You're a very fine writer and researcher. And needless to say, Ken Kesey is really one of the great characters in American history. The book, again, is called It's All a Kind of Magic. Thank you so much for being with us, Doctor, and have a very good evening. Thank you.
My pleasure. Same to you.
Thanks. That's Dr. Rick Dodson. And the book came out in 2013.